Good afternoon. I'm Chris DiNicola, born July of 1962, rendering me 32 years of age. I was a subject in radiation, as well as mind control and drug experiments performed by a man I knew as Dr. Green. My parents were divorced around 1966, and Donald Richard Ebner, my natural father, was involved with Dr. Green in the experiments. I was a subject from 1966 to 1976. Dr. Green performed radiation experiments on me in 1970, focusing on my neck, throat, and chest. 1972, focusing on my chest and my uterus in 1975. Each time I became dizzy, nauseous, and threw up. All these experiments were performed on me in conjunction with mind control techniques and drugs in Tucson, Arizona. Dr. Green was using me mostly as a mind control subject from 1966 to 1973. His objective was to gain control of my mind and train me to be a spy assassin. The first significant memory took place at Kansas City University in 1966. Don Ebner took me there by plane when my mom was out of town. I was in what looked like a laboratory, and there seemed to be other children. I was strapped down, naked, spread eagle, on a table, on my back. Dr. Green had electrodes on my body, including my head. He used what looked like an overhead projector and repeatedly said he was burning different images into my brain while a red light flashed aimed at my forehead. In between each sequence, he used electric shock on my body and told me to go deeper and deeper, while repeating each image would go deeper into my brain and I would do whatever he told me to do. I felt drugged because he had given me a shot before he started the procedure. When it was over, he gave me another shot. The next thing I remember, I was with my grandparents again in Tucson, Arizona. I was 4 years old. You can see from this experiment that Dr. Green used trauma, drugs, post-hypnotic suggestion, and more trauma in an effort to gain total control of my mind. He used me in radiation experiments both for the purposes of determining the effects of radiation on various parts of my body and to terrorize me as an additional trauma in the mind control experiments. The rest of the experiments took place in Tucson, Arizona, out in the desert. I was taught how to pick locks, be secretive, use my photographic memory, and a technique to withhold information by repeating numbers to myself. Dr. Green moved on to wanting me to kill dolls that looked like real children. I stabbed a doll with a spear once after being severely traumatized, but the next time I refused. He used many pain induction techniques, but as I got older, I resisted more and more. He often tied me down in a cage, which was near his office. Between 1972 and 1976, he and his assistants were sometimes careless and left the cage unlocked. Whenever physically possible, I snuck into his office and found files with reports and memos addressed to CIA and military personnel. Included in these files were project, subproject, subject, and experiment names with some code numbers for radiation and mind control experiments, which I have submitted in your written documentation. I was caught twice, and Dr. Green ruthlessly used electric shock, drugs, spun me on a table, put shots in my stomach, in my back, dislocated my joints, and hypnotic techniques to make me feel crazy and suicidal. Because of my rebellion and growing lack of cooperation, they gave up on me as a spy assassin. Consequently, the last 2 years, 1974 to 1976, Dr. Green used various mind control techniques to reverse the spy assassin messages to self-destruct and death messages. His purpose? He wanted me dead, and I struggled to stay alive all of my adult life. I believe it is by the grace of God that I am still alive. These horrible experiments have profoundly affected my life. I developed multiple personality disorder because Dr. Green's goal was to split my mind into as many parts as possible so he could control me totally. He failed. But I've had to endure years of constant physical, mental, and emotional pain, even to this day. I've been in therapy consistently for 12 years, and it wasn't until I found my current therapist 2.5 years ago, who had knowledge of the mind control experiments, that I've finally been able to make real progress and begin to heal. In closing, I ask that you keep in mind that the memories I've described are but a glimpse of the countless others that took place over the 10 years between 1966 and 1976. That they weren't just radiation, but mind control and drug experiments as well. I have included more detailed information of what I remember in your written documentation. Please help us by recommending an investigation and making the information available so that therapists and other mental health professionals can help more people like myself. I know I can get better. I am getting better. And I know others can too, with the proper help. Please help us in an effort to prevent these heinous acts from continuing in the future. Thank you very much.
Between the years of 1957 and 1984, I became a pawn in a government scheme whose ultimate goal was mind control and to create the perfect spy, all through the use of chemicals, radiation, drugs, hypnosis, electric shock, isolation in tubs of water, sleep deprivation, brainwashing, verbal, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. I was exploited unwittingly for nearly 3 decades of my life. And the only explanations given to me were that, quote, the end justifies the means, and, quote, I was serving my country in their bold effort to fight communism. I can only summarize my circumstances by saying they took an already abused 7-year-old child and compounded my suffering beyond belief. The saddest part is, I know for a fact that I was not alone. There were countless other children in my same situation, and there was no one to help us until now. I've already submitted as much information as possible, including conversations overheard of the people, agencies responsible. I'm able to report all this to you in such detail because of my photographic memory and the arrogance of the doctors, the arrogance of the people involved. They were certain they would always control my mind. Although the process of recalling these atrocities is not an easy one, nor is it without some danger to myself and my family, I feel the risk is worth taking. Dr. L. Wilson Green, who claimed to have received $50 million from the Edgewood Chemical and Radiology Laboratory as part of the TSD, or Technical Science Division, of the CIA, once described to Dr. Charles Brown that, quote, children were used as subjects because they were more fun to work with and cheaper, too. They needed lower profile subjects than soldiers or government people, so only young, willing females would do. Besides, he said, I like scaring them. They and the agency think I'm a god, creating subjects, experiments for whatever deviant purposes Sid and James can think up. Sid being Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, James, Dr. James Hamilton. In 1958, I was to be tested, they told me, by some important doctors, but from the society, or the Human Ecology Society. And I was instructed to cooperate. I was told not to look at anyone's faces and not try hard, not to ignore to try hard not to ignore any names, as this was a very secret project. But I was told to be brave, and all these things would help me forget. Naturally, as most children do, I did the opposite and remembered as much as I could. Dr. John Gittinger tested me, Dr. Cameron gave me the shocks, and Dr. Green the x-rays. Then I was told by Sid Gottlieb that, quote, I was ripe for the big A, or meaning artichoke. By the time I left to go home, just like every time from then on, I would remember only whatever explanations Dr. Robert G. Heath at Tulane Medical University gave me for the odd bruises, needle marks, burns on my head, fingers, and even the genital soreness. I had no reason to believe otherwise. They had already begun to control my mind. The next year, I was sent to a lodge in Maryland called Deep Creek Cabins to learn how to sexually please men. I was taught how to coerce them into talking about themselves, And it was Richard Helms, who was deputy director of the CIA, Dr. Gottlieb, Captain George White, Morris Allen, who all planned on filming as many high government agency officials and heads of academic institutions and foundations as possible, so that later when the funding for mind control and radiation started to dwindle, projects would continue. I was used to entrap many unwitting men, including themselves, all with the use of a hidden camera. I was only 9 years old when this sexual humiliation began. I overheard conversations about a part of the agency called ORD, which I found out was Office of Research and Development. It was run by Dr. Green, Dr. Stephen Aldrich, Martin Orne, and Morris Allen. Once a crude remark was made by Dr. Gottlieb about a certain possible leak over New Orleans East involving a large group of retarded children who are being given massive doses of radiation. He asked, why was Wilson so worried about a few retarded kids? After all, they would be the least likely to spill the beans. Another time, I heard Dr. Martin Orne, who was the director then of the scientific office and later the head of the Institute for Experimental Research, state that, quote, in order to keep more funding coming from different sources for radiation and mind control projects, he suggested stepping up the amounts of stressors used and also the blackmail portion of the experiments. He said it needed to be done faster than to get rid of the subjects, or they were asking for us to come back later and haunt them with our remembrances. There's much more I could tell you about government-sponsored research, including project names, sub-project numbers, people involved, facility used, tests, and other forms of pain induction, but I think I've given more than enough information to recommend further investigation of all the mind control projects, especially as they involve so much use of the radiation. I would love nothing more than to say that I dreamed all this up and need just to forget it. But that would be a tragic mistake. It would also be a lie. All these atrocities did occur to me and to countless other children, and all under the guise of defending our country. It is because of the cumulative effects of exposure to radiation, chemicals, drugs, pain, and subsequent mental and physical distress that I've been robbed of the ability to work and even to bear any children of my own. It is blatantly obvious that none of this was needed, nor should it ever have been allowed to take place at all. And the only means we have to seek out the awful truth and bring it to light is by opening whatever files remain on all the projects and through another presidential commission on mind control. I believe that every citizen of this nation has the right to know just what is fact and what is fiction. It is our greatest protection against the possibility of this ever happening again. In conclusion, I can offer you no more than what I've given you today, the truth, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your presentations. We appreciate that this is not an easy thing to do. Are there comments or questions from the committee? Duncan?
Could I ask either of you, where were your parents through all this? Do you have any idea how you were recruited in the first place? Do you have parents, and did your parents know anything about what was going on?
I can make a brief statement on that. It was my father who was involved with Dr. Green. My mother was not aware because they were divorced when I was 4 years old, before that separated. And what would happen, how he gained access to me is these experiments took place actually in the middle of the night. And he would sneak in while my mom was asleep, take me out, and she had absolutely no knowledge of what happened. However, when these memories did surface and I began to tell her about them, there was no question in her mind that he was capable. He had been in the military, in the Air Force. He had access to meet Dr. Green. So in answer to your question, it was my father. He groomed me from the very beginning, started sexually abusing me from the very beginning. And it was just something that he wanted to do. And he was closely involved with Dr. Green, but my mom had no knowledge. The only thing she knew was that she wanted to get away from him. She didn't know why. She just knew she had to get away from him because of my reaction to him. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on. Thank you. Thank you.
You want an answer from me also?
That's up to you.
If you want.
The way I got involved was I was adopted when I was 2 1/2 by a woman who sexually abused me. And then she was a friend of the chairman of the board of Tulane University at the time. And as a favor to him, I began to show symptoms of, you know, typical of childhood abuse when I was very, very young. And she asked him to recommend a psychiatrist. And he recommended Dr. Heath, who was involved with the project already. And so when he discovered that I had already been abused from the time I was practically born, and that I had the ability to dissociate, and that I had almost perfect recall, and I passed all the personality tests that they gave me, he suggested me for the project. And so that's how I got into it. My father had no idea, and he died when I was very young. But I don't know if my mother knew or not. I don't think she really cared, to tell you the truth. And then she died when I was a teenager. So after that, they had access to me. And then on.
Lois?
You mentioned that there are others across the country who are coming, who are recalling similar things.
Yes.
Do they all cover the same time span generally, or
yes.
Do you have a feel for that?
Yeah, generally they're covering the same time span from about the late 1940s until... See, one of the things that we're hearing about is people that were assigned to monitor them in case they should start to remember, because it's so horrible what was done. So we're not exactly sure when the actual experimentation took place and when it got into just the monitoring to make sure that they were still under control, and not everybody is being monitored. So, but yeah, pretty much I think it's from the late 40s through the 1970s, and maybe even into 1984.
Later than that, I found out. Because after my parents died, and there was no one to protect me, the monitor that she spoke of, that my particular monitor, was a physician at Tulane University, and so he was a family friend also of my mother's, and he just kept on making sure that I kept going back and forgetting.
So it's kind of unclear as to whether it stopped or whether it you know, where the
they still monitor you, though. That's why I am taking some danger in coming here today, because I'm still being watched.
I know this sounds unbelievable, but I mean, there's actual, she gets stuff in the mail, she gets phone calls, people have been writing things on her house using the pseudonym that they used when she was at Tulane, and only they would know that name.
My real name was never used, ever, in anything. So.
Were they all children at the time?
Yes.
When they were?
All children. And the thing is as therapists, we are trying really hard to figure this out and to get as much information as we can. Claudia's memories have been verified, a lot of them, because the way I've approached this is I don't read in the field. And so as people give me information, I send them to experts like Alan Shefflin, who has a lot of information, and then he'll get back to me to confirm or deny. He has never denied any information that I've sent him. Some of it can't be because we don't have all the information, but a lot of Claudia's memories have been validated, and they're not in any published source. The only way she would know the things she knows is if she filed Freedom of Information Act information, and this is what Alan Shefflin is telling me. So I've been very careful not to know a whole lot, so if someone tells me something, I don't even cue them that, because I don't know either.
Duncan?
It seems to me that documentary evidence is going to be key to establishing the truth of these claims.
Yes, absolutely.
It's hard for me to imagine that a program as large and as complex as you people have described could have gone on for so long without a great deal of documentation. The question is, where is this documentation now? It becomes a catch-22 if it is said that all of the documentation resides within the CIA files, and all of it's secret, and they won't give it to us. But what you've described is a pattern of a very complex organization with which involves plenty of people outside of the CIA as mm-hmm. well. Therefore, there must be a substantial amount of documentation which could be discovered. You just mentioned the letters that some of you are still receiving. There is a leak to documentation. Can you describe for me what efforts have been made, either by yourselves or by other people who are working on the story, to try to track down some of this documentation? And what you meant a moment ago when you said that some of these memories have been verified or validated?
Okay. Dr. Alan Shefflin, and you have his resume in the documentation and a statement from him about Claudia in your documentation. He has been, for the past 20 years, filing Freedom of Information Act filings to get this information, has been piecing it together. Other people across the country have been doing the same, going back to the government files, getting what they can. And what they've also been doing is writing books, sharing information. So he has actual Freedom of Information Act information. The problem is that it's when the requests are going in now, they're being slowed down or denied or just kind of lost in the shuffle, and the information is very difficult to get.
I'm sorry, I don't see the documentation in the package that was provided to me. Is there something missing?
I supplied project numbers.
I sent a packet of documentation overnight mail. It should have been here Monday, and some more yesterday. So it maybe isn't.
Well, if we haven't received it, we'll let you know.
Okay, I sent the first one to Steve Kladman and the second one to Kristen Crotty.
We have it.
You have it?
Yeah, we have some of these materials.
Okay, and again, it was, you know, what I could pull together in about a week and a half from across the country, but the consistency of the stories. And the thing is, we want to verify. So Alan has amassed over 20 years from Freedom of Information Act, from memos other people give him, or sharing information, a lot of information. But we don't have the complete story. There's still a lot of stuff that we don't know. And that's what we're trying to find out, because
Does any of this documentation specifically refer to radiation experiments? Because we are told by CIA that they never did any radiation experiments.
The ORD?
So what we need is documentation in order to pursue that.
All you have to do is look up anything on ORD, the one that I mentioned that I overheard them speaking about. That was almost strictly radiation. And that was run by Dr. Stephen Aldridge, Martin Orne.
And that's included in the package which you sent Steve Kleidman?
Yes. I gave you project numbers, project names, sub-project numbers. Even the subjects, we were given numbers ourselves for each specific experiment. And I overheard my number, because they would assume that they would use techniques so that you would forget. Assume, you know, when you go home, you wouldn't remember what happened. So they just talk freely in front of me. That's why no one ever hid their face, wore a mask or anything, because they knew that I would not remember. And I didn't. I didn't remember until 2 years ago.
And also, I think you could follow up on Dr. L. Wilson Green. I don't know if you've come across him, but he seems to have been involved in both. And I think, realistically, in terms of the mind control, some of the subjects were used in mind control and radiation. Some, as you've been hearing, have been strictly radiation, and some were strictly mind control. I think the reason it's coming up now is because in some of the stuff people are remembering, they knew that it would break down. They really worked hard to induce amnesia, and they knew it would break down. And I think in the last couple of years that's what's been happening, because we're hearing more and more, and so we're just trying to find out what's happening here. We'd appreciate any help you could give us on that.
Did you want to make?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to address you for a moment. The question you asked about the documentation on radiation specifically included in my packet, and I don't know if you have that or not. It's entitled Radiation File Information. There are names of subject names, experiment names, and some code numbers that I remember. And The problem is we have no way of verifying this without opening the files. I mean, I
so
believe...
you have those?
Yeah.
You have what she remembers, and you have what Claudia remembers.
Do you have the documentation?
All I have from you is your three-page... four-page,
well,
three-page document.
Well, there's a whole packet of information.
We can clarify that.
I gather the staff has it, so we can look into it afterwards.
We can clarify what we don't have, what you do have, and whatever it is we can put together. And we thank you very much for your traveling from New Orleans to present to us.
I wish I didn't.
We've just heard the historic testimony of mind control experimentation introduced to the presidential hearings on radiation experiments. This happened, this testimony took place in March 15th of 1995. Currently, the survivor movement is calling for similar hearings on the mind control experiments in particular. You've been listening to the International Connection here on CKLN. We're going to feature more information with Valerie Wolf and Claudia Mullen in upcoming shows. If anybody's interested in getting transcripts of this show, of the whole series, you can send a short message indicating that to scw@web.net. That's scw@web.net. And we also now have the transcripts on a web page, and the address of that web page is www.mk.net/tilde, that's the little squiggly sign, mcf/ckln/ckln-hm.htm. And if you didn't catch that, you can give me a call at the station at 595-1655 in the next 10 minutes or so. Coming up next week, we're going to continue with this series, and we'll be featuring an interview with Ronald Howard Cohen, a writer and survivor of abduction and severe drugging in the late 60s. And he has experienced further harassment in attempting to publish a book about his experiences. And we'll be continuing this series until October of 1997, and there's lots more information that's going to come out. 88.1 CKLN. Stay tuned for Aquí en Nuestra America.